Hi, Hugo.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for joining us from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Let me introduce us. I'm Robert Wright of Blogging Heads TV. This is an episode of Worldwise. You are Hugo Godinho, I guess. You are a graduate of the University of Sao Paulo, and now you're a graduate student in international relations. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you are a protester. And there are a number of those in Brazil, and they've gotten a lot of attention lately, and at the moment, the protests show no signs of stopping, and I was hoping that you could shed a little light on what's going on there. What's it been like for you? What has your participation in the protests been like?
Okay, I'll try to start telling how it all started, and hope I can give you guys some better idea of what's going on here.
Okay.
Well, it all started by a movement, a collective movement here from Sao Paulo, which is called the Free Pass Movement. Over the past years, every time they started, the government decided to increase the public transport fares. They have tried to call protests around the biggest cities in Brazil to try to demand better investments in public transport and less priorities given to private transport. So what happened now is that probably because, and that's my view, but that's a very general broad view everybody's been having, is that with the aid of the social networks, people started really seeing what was going on, and after a very bad decision from the police, from the state police here in the state of São Paulo, of using violence against the initial protesters, which were still quite not so big a group, maybe not more than 5,000-10,000 people. After the images of violence started showing up on the social networks, and the TV, the big TV, traditional TV channels that we have here were not showing the same thing as the social networks were showing. That's when people started saying, hey, I gotta be there on the streets too. I gotta support these guys because they're fighting for something which is fair and right. And, it's not right what's being done with it. So it all morphed from a very small thing that could be forgotten after a couple of weeks to something very big in which Brazil entirely is participating now.
Mm-hmm. Now, so far it sounds very much like what happened in Turkey in the sense that there was initially a single issue. The police reacted harshly to the demonstration, and so the movement spread, and it came to encompass a number of additional grievances beyond the initial grievance, right?
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. And in the very beginning, we were seeing similarities to what is happening in Turkey. I think now we could say that things have developed in a bit of a different way because, of course, although there are similarities, there are also many differences between how things are dealt with and history of the countries and political participation, democracy. But yes, that's how it all started. It started as a single issue, and now it became so widespread. Actually, the recent talk is that it's become too widespread, and people are actually a little bit lost on what they're demanding and how mm-hmm. they're going to achieve the resolution of our problems.
Yeah, I mean the issues you read about in the American press, at least, are that the government, you know, it spends money on these big things that make Brazil look good in the eyes of the world, like hosting the Olympics in 2016, hosting the World Cup. It ignores things like transportation infrastructure for the public and education, and so on. That's there's some corruption involved, allegedly, in these big projects that the government sponsors. Does that capture much of what the issue is, or does it go well beyond that?
Yes. Overall, we could say that the people are generally angry about all these bad things. You know, corruption seems like a good word to sum up what people are angry about. If we're spending so much money on a few stadiums that we don't even know that they're going to be used after the World Cup and the Olympics are gone, and how much money is put into them, since we need so many hospitals and we need schools and better public transport. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's the main reason that the people are actually going to the streets. The only thing is people don't yet, I think, and that's my view, but it's not only my view, that people need to be more focused on what they want right now, because public dissatisfaction is starting to be appropriated by different groups of interest, and their interests are not necessarily so aligned with what we could call public interest.
Right, you know, and that kind of leads to the question. In that regard, it also reminds me of the Occupy movement in the United States, where, you know, it was kind of a leaderless movement. Mm-hmm. There was nobody really, you know, who articulated goals, clear goals or specific policy demands. And as a result, there was kind of, you know, it wasn't clear what it would take, what would satisfy the group, right? And I guess a similar question might be asked of you because, you know, one contrast between Brazil and Turkey is how the leadership of the country responded.
Exactly.
Your president, Rousseff, initially responded in a more conciliatory way than Prime Minister Erdogan in Turkey has responded. And in fact, the initial demand of the group that the increase in bus fare be rescinded was granted.
Yeah.
And yet the movement, the protests persist. I guess there are a number of grievances and demands floating around. And so, the government could reasonably ask, what would it take? You know, what are your demands? What do you want? What specifically, you know, what could we actually do right now to satisfy you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of a problem for the movement?
Yes, I think it's a problem. There's no lack, I'd say there's no lack of, even of objective requests by the people. There are laws concerning political reform, for instance, laws that could help curb corruption. There is a demand for a complete audit and investigation into the government expenses with the Olympic and World Cup events that are going to happen. So there's no lack of objective causes, but at the same time, it's something that needs to be further discussed. Most of the people on the streets, and I was there at the streets last night, they're demanding an end to corruption, and they are bringing posters with their requests. But overall, we also see a lot of, we hear a lot of screaming against the government in general. Mm-hmm. Or against corruption, or down with the government, or we need order again. And we even started seeing the original, some of the groups that supported the original people in the streets protesting against the increase in the public transport fare prices. They were being expelled from these demonstrations in the streets in the last few days.
By the protesters?
Yes, by the very young protesters that they were trying to whose rights they were trying to defend before, because the protesters, not everyone, and it's not the same in the entire country, but there's a general sentiment that politics are bad in themselves, and this is not right. I think there's a misunderstanding of what's going on, but the people are voicing their anger against politics in general and against political parties that have been there for a long time fighting for the rights of these very same people, or at least mm-hmm. of the people as a whole. So we're starting to see some groups and the traditional media in Brazil, I would say, is partly responsible for this, because at first they were naming the people in the streets protesting as vandals, and saying they were breaking everything up, and then they actually urged the police and the government authorities to be more repressive, to be harsher in their repression against these movements. Hmm. From the point where public opinion in general started supporting the movement because of the violence used by the police, and that's I think that's one point where in Turkey and in Brazil things start getting different. is that public opinion as a whole, and even the media, then jumped onto the boat to support the protests. But actually, they are trying to implement their own agenda into the demonstrations. So are you saying
the media has become more sympathetic to the protesters after initially being critical, or are they just...
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. After initially being critical or even omitting itself in terms of covering what was going on, now it is supporting the protests. It's showing the protests in a positive way in terms of the protests being able to destabilize the government, because part of the media, and that's a reality here in Brazil, it's linked to traditional groups of power that have seen over the past administrations, over the three past administrations here, they have seen part of their privileges be reduced as opposed to a majority of the people having their equality, standards of living increased. So it's undeniable that parts of the media, they are actually supporting the protests because they see it as an opportunity to affect the party which is now in power in the federal government.
Okay. And are you saying that, am I getting the sense that some of these younger protesters who have turned against the kind of the original organizers of the movement, are they almost anarchist in their ideology, the way some people associated with the Occupy movement in the United States were?
No, not really. I think these young protesters on the street, they have discovered that they can go out of the streets. They can take their mobilization that they're used to doing now in the social networks, and they know that they can do it on the streets, and then they can demand many things. But I think what is lacking exactly for most of the people on the streets now is a clear understanding of where we are, where we were before, and the things that we have achieved so far, and what we want to do with it from now on. I think the people are angry, and they are completely justified at being angry at many of the things that are wrong in our country. But at the same time, they need a clearer focus on what they want from it all.
And as of now, there's no one speaking for the movement. I mean, you said there are specific demands, but there's no one who can say, well, if these seven demands are met, this will end, right?
Exactly. I think we're lacking leaderships. And I say it in the plural because I don't mean one leadership. But I mean leaderships that can say, and the fact that people are rejecting political parties or other organized movements that have started actually protesting, the fact that people are rejecting them as if they are part or they are conniving with the wrongdoing that we have in our country, I think that's a bad thing in terms, because there's no solution, I think, in my opinion, there's no solution to this problem unless it is a political solution. So we cannot reject politics as a whole if we mean to really achieve good results from all this.
Okay. Now you referred to the role of technology, and this is a subject of ongoing debate in the United States, what role technology plays in popular uprisings in general, and what role it played in the Arab Spring. It sounds like to me you think that social media played a large role here. Is that right?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt on that. There's no doubt on that.
And what are the big ones? Twitter and what? Doesn't Brazil have some sort of non-Facebook thing that's very big, but is like Facebook, or am I wrong about that?
Yeah, around the time Facebook started becoming popular, and I mean to say 2003, 2004 in the U.S., we had a social network in Brazil which is called Orkut. It actually comes from India or Pakistan, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Google has even bought it. Google has acquired this company because it saw the potential it had here in Brazil. But then Facebook arrived here, and when Facebook arrived here, Orkut was all but dead, actually. Facebook is the major social network here in Brazil as well. I'd say it plays a bigger part than Twitter, yeah.
Facebook played a bigger part than Twitter.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, but at the same time, there had to be this pent-up, sense of grievance. Brazil is often described as a country of very high income inequality, with a lot of real poverty, and then a lot of really rich people. But are the protesters really being drawn very much from the ranks of the very poor, or is this more of a kind of a middle-class protest, or what?
It's hard to say. I think everyone is out. Everyone is out in the streets. There's people from the very upper class. I remember this Monday when we were walking on the streets, we passed in front of one of the biggest, richest shopping malls here in São Paulo, and there were people inside the shopping malls watching from the windows, and they were cheering for the protesters. At the same time, we have all kinds of people that see things are happening. Even if they don't use Facebook, they're seeing, because now everybody's on the streets, they're seeing what is happening, and they wanna voice their demands as well. But I think one thing we can say is the majority of people, not everyone, but the majority of people are young people or students that are workers as well. But it's mostly a protest of the young. This is something new for most of the people. What I mean to say is this is something new. Most of the people who were there, they were too young or they were small children when we had something similar in Brazil in 1992 when we promoted the impeachment of our president because of corruption and just very bad administration. This is the first time since then that we have that many people on the streets right now.
Can you tell us a little about the history of democracy in Brazil, and to what extent, if any, is there a complaint that democracy itself is not working? Is that an issue?
I think democracy here, but that's not only a Brazilian problem. It needs improvement. I think there is a crisis of representation. People are not, and I think that applies to Europe, for example, and also to the United States, where people go to the streets because they complain that their requests and their wishes are not being represented by the government. I think that's an issue that we have pretty much everywhere in our major democracies in the world. Brazil is not a major democracy. We're a young democracy because from 1964 to 1985. We endured a military dictatorship, and as we ended that military dictatorship, and we drafted a new constitution in 1988, it was a very smooth process, and it was a very controlled process. That was the word of the order at the time. That it would be a smooth and controlled process towards democracy. It was not radical at all. So a lot of the privileges or the characteristics of public governance that we could call patrimonialistic, where there's a lot of confusion between what is public property and what is private property. So the public administrators in Brazil, we still have a legacy that comes from centuries past in Brazil, where the people who are in public administration have a tendency to take possession of what is public. So that's something that we need to improve here. We need to improve governance. We need to improve transparency. But the democracy has worked so far. Since then, since 1989, we had our first general elections, direct elections, and since then we have had no rupture in democracy. Democracy is advancing quite remarkably. I think we just have to respect that. And it's not just because we're all on the streets and the public has suddenly found out that we have now the power, the people have the power to change the government. Yes, of course we do. The governors, they should answer to our requests. It's not just the thing of every 4 years going and voting, but I think we need to improve the means of participation for the people. But we cannot also overthrow everything that we have built, knowing that there is always a risk that we may we may have drawbacks. We may go back to a situation that we had already overcome before.
And are you starting to get concerned that things are heading in that direction, that this could kind of get out of hand?
It could get out of hand. Word is that in the government, people are scared in the government of where this is going to go. Every day we're following up on the news, and especially in the social networks and even in the streets, their general sentiment. What is the general sentiment? And there are obviously some groups that are trying to profit from all this. So we just have to be careful. But in the end, I don't think there is a risk of a coup or something like this. Because if you really look at the people in the streets, everybody's very, very well-intentioned. After all, it all started with protests against an increasing in public transport fares. And even most of the people who were there, or many of the people who were there in the beginning, they rarely take the bus. They use their own cars, but they are well-intentioned in all this. Mm-hmm. And they are very suspicious of everything. This thing that I said, that they repelled some of the original protesters just because they belong to political parties or organized parties, and there's a rejection of organized political parties. People are very suspicious of organized groups, any organized groups at all. So I think that's an insurance that we have against any attempt of trying to seize power or from this situation. I think it's more, there's a bigger risk that we lose focus, and in the end, we don't end up achieving what we want. Actually, we have to better define what we want.
Okay, now in Turkey, what some people were concerned about, I mean, one scenario of it spinning out of control involved conflict between different groups. You had the kind of religious conservatives on the one hand, many of whom were standing by Prime Minister Erdogan and were attending these big rallies he's been having. And then on the other hand, you had these, you know, more cosmopolitan, more secular groups, and the idea was, well, there was already some tension between them. If they started holding, you know, demonstrations and counter demonstrations, you could get fighting in the street between those groups. I haven't heard from you anything about that kind of threat. I mean, is there no big threat of kind of civil strife between two groups? I mean, you kind of minimize the extent to which this is actually a class conflict, as I mm-hmm. understand it, right?
Yeah, not exactly. I think the thing here is, in Brazil, everyone is supporting, basically everyone is supporting the demonstrations. Even if you ask, for instance, a corrupt politician, he's going to say he's against corruption and he supports mm-hmm. the people on the streets. So for now, I think we don't have that kind of risk because everybody, in theory at least, they support what is going on. They're supporting that we have to go to the streets and demand improvements and demand a response from the government. I don't think we have big groups where we're polarizing. We're not polarizing the question yet. We're trying to find an answer sort of together with animosities, but it's not even an organized animosity yet. Everybody's trying to learn from it. I think it's, and that's what makes me enthusiastic about it all, is that this is making people get interested in politics and try to find a solution together. That's what we hope for. So no, mm-hmm. I think we can say that we're fortunate that we don't have this level of rivalry between big groups. Everybody's trying to find a solution together, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's very hard to guess how exactly this will play out and how it will end, right? Do you have mm-hmm. any predictions?
It's very hard to change to give you a prediction. One day you go to the streets and the general sentiment is one. For instance, last Thursday, a little more than a week ago, I was out in the streets and I was dodging rubber bullets from the police and bombs off gas. And the general sentiment was, we need to stop this. We need to stop repression. We have to end. We have to and the police, because the police is a military police in Brazil. It's a legacy from the military dictatorship that we have. So we have to stop that. And then on Monday, so many people went to the streets, and then it becomes, we're here for the country, we need to make it better. And it was very positive, but at the same time, very, very vague. On the next day, some groups, some organized groups start making vandalism. They start attacking, the town hall here in São Paulo. They start attacking the Congress in Brasilia and the capital. And then people are trying to say, hey, we need to end this and that. And then the next day, the original protesters start being rejected from the movement. And we say, hey, the real problem here is not that we need to know our priorities first. We have to know what we really want, and we have to know that we cannot reject politics. So it always changing very fast from one day to the other. It's happening right now. We have protests that are going to start very soon here in São Paulo. There are many other protests now because people have decided, people have discovered they can start it for themselves. So tomorrow, in many cities, we're going to have demonstrations again. We're going to have people demanding laws to protect LGBT rights. We're going to have people proposing laws to curb corruption. I think a lot of good things are going to come out of this, because politicians now, they know that we're listening, we're watching. That's, mm-hmm. I think that's the very best that's going to come out of it. Mm-hmm. But we can only hope for the best, I guess.
Okay. And is there any sense of solidarity with protesters in other countries to whom this movement has been compared? I mean, the Occupy people in the United States, the protesters from the summer of 2011 in Israel, the protesters in Turkey. Is there much consciousness of this being maybe part of a global thing?
I don't think there's a lot of awareness from the nationals of the other countries. There's been some attempts at trying to raise that awareness. There are many Brazilians, very creative people, who have made and posted on YouTube some videos in English, and very well built, very well made videos showing what was going on and asking for support. What has happened is that many Brazilians that live in other countries, they have made demonstrations themselves in London, in front of the Houses of Parliament in London. 5,000 Brazilians and supporters were there voicing their demands as well. So this has been quite astonishing for us. We just hope this can raise awareness in terms of politics, in terms of politics everywhere, because the issues that we have here are not specifically and only our own. They're issues that can be found everywhere.
So we're taping this on a Friday. There are, as you said, protests planned for tomorrow, Saturday, and I gather you'll be there?
Yeah, sure. I'll be out in the streets. I'll be out in the streets to this evening and hopefully tomorrow and over the weekends, as I try to grasp the general sentiment, try to show what are my opinions about what is going on as well, and try to help people. There are a lot of friends and colleagues who are organizing and going together to these demonstrations, and it's very important that we are all there trying to help, trying to give shape to this movement that's happening right now in Brazil. Try to make the best out of it, I guess.
Okay, well, good luck, I guess, and we'll be watching. And thanks so much for taking the time, Hugo, to shed some light on this.
Thanks, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to voice a little bit to you guys and everyone else who's going to be watching.
Happy to. It's been a big asset for us. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye bye.